Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Remove the obstacles. Write that down. But it's time for us to make some bold declarations of faith. And, you know, we're kings and priests in this earth, and what kings do is they decree a thing. And you know what? It's so. And that's what we have to understand, the authority that we have as believers. And it's interesting because 2 Timothy 1:7, and you've heard it 1,000 times, okay? And it's simply this. Paul writes to Timothy, it said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Understand, I believe there's order to God's word. I believe that the order works, that God gives us power, love, and then the product is a sound mind, all right? The ability to make the right decisions, and they're not to be confused. And you understand the devil's the author of confusion. So when you start thinking you're confused and then speaking you're confused, you're playing right into his hand, okay? So if you begin to think that you're confused, bring every thought into the captivity of Christ and don't say it. Don't make that your confession. See, so God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So my confession of faith is, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. And you write this down, everything in the kingdom starts with power. Everything does. It's dynamic in nature, the life God gives us. So here's what, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Make that confession of faith right now. Say it.
God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Do it. Now say it again like you mean it. Say it again. Like, listen, you're decreeing this into your life. Go ahead.
God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
See, otherwise, fear is going to try to slip in. And here's what's interesting. The fear that the world sells is not, it's a spirit of fear. It's spirit. It's demonic in nature. See, here's what's interesting. I was in my backyard this morning and I'm praying. I'm drinking a cup of coffee and I'm just excited about church today. And what's interesting is God gave me a perspective. And I think that that's kind of an entry-level revelation for me, how God operates. But the perspective is that the devil appeared in the garden as a serpent, a snake, right? Well, if I've listened to most church folk in the last few generations, I would think that would say that the enemy appeared in the garden as a rhinoceros. I would, like a rhino. It's like, and it's funny because I'm in my backyard, I'm behind my house, I'm looking at my house. I envision this rhino tearing through my house, just running through walls and breaking everything up, and he's got that tusk or horn or whatever the heck it is, and he's got a hard head. And how many of you guys are married to a rhino? But just tearing up my house, and I thought, that's not how the devil does this. He's slippery. He's slimy. Listen to this. His strength is he's subtle, where he just slips in. You don't even know he's there. He's a parasite. He's living off of your life. And you know what? It's not that big a deal until you see it. You see that snake. It's interesting. I was talking to a good friend of mine a few years ago, and I was in my backyard. I saw a snake. I said, oh, there's a snake. As I'm talking to him, I said, there's a snake. I'm walking into my garage. I go through the gate. I go into the garage. I walk out. I grab a shovel. I walk out. And he goes, well, what kind of snake is it? I said, I don't know. It's a snake. He said, how big is it? I said, it's a couple feet long. He said, oh, what are the markings on it? And then he heard what sounded like that shovel separating that snake's head from the rest of it. And he said, what'd you just do? I said, I took care of the snake. He said, with what? I said, a shovel. That's what you do. You lop. He said, well, no, some snakes are good. That's a matter of opinion. No, I'm not kidding. Okay, let's go there. Any of you guys that go, man, I got this new pet snake. I'm like, you are freaking weird. I'm not kidding. No, like, no. Anybody agree with me on that? It's like, I got a new puppy. Oh, really? I got a snake. It's like, okay, you don't get to go to dinner with us. But God's given us the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. He's given us his word as a sword. Now think about it. The devil doesn't come as a rhino. He doesn't come as this beast. He comes as a snake, as a serpent. And then we flip forward to Revelation, and now he's a dragon because of what men made him. Turned him into a dragon now. It's like, oh my gosh, what's this dragon? Let's go back to the origin. It's a serpent. It's a snake. You've got the sword of the Spirit. If the devil's messing with your finances, lop his dadgum head off. See, that's who we've got to be. We've got to renew our mind to God's power and God's authority. And we're not begging God. We're here to declare his promises. To declare and decree his promises. And this actually, as we do this, it activates our faith. And our faith gets activated. And you know what? The activation of our faith doesn't just produce what's been promised, but it goes a step further and it pleases God. So when we speak his word, when we speak faith, we declare by faith God's promise, it pleases God. It's pleasing to God. And you know what that does? It activates him as the comforter. And his Spirit now is in our lives comforting us. Jesus said, I didn't come to make you comfortable. But then on his way out, he said, God's sending another comforter. The Spirit of truth. See, and that Spirit of truth is, now what's our response to the Spirit of truth? Is the Spirit of faith. See, what does that faith do? It activates God's promises. And see, we've got to understand that we've got to renew our minds to God's word. Our faith appropriates what God has provided by grace. See, here's how everything works in a nutshell. How many guys want everything in a nutshell? Can I see your hands? Where it's just boom, give me one thing. It's by grace through faith. That's how everything works. Like how does God heal you? It's his power. It's his grace. His grace is his power. But how do we activate that grace? How do we activate God's healing? How do we activate God's provision? How do we activate God's protection, his shelter? How do we activate God's peace? How do we activate God's love? It's by faith. The grace of God, the power of God comes into play when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. That act that appropriates God's promise into our lives. And it's not just poof like this. It's so is it as of unto our faith. That these are steps of faith that we're taking. It's not just for me to go from disease to sickness. It's not just, okay, I'm there. Okay, where did the magic wand? Where's the fairy dust? No, you know what it is? Man, it's steps of faith. What are you doing? I'm walking. I'm walking this out. I'm walking in the healing provision God gave me. And the more you walk, the more the stronger you get. Man, people wear those deals on their wrist, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I got to get 3,000 more steps in." I'm like, "What? How many steps do you take a day?" Oh, I generally take about 10,000. I'm like, it's not weird to me that you're taking 10,000 steps. That's not weird. It's weird that you're counting them. See, it is. It sounded reasonable. Once I heard myself say that, it makes perfect sense. But in Hebrews 10:38, the writer says, "Now the just shall live by faith." And if we draw back at all, we don't please God. There's no pleasure in it. That the pleasure is, I'm pressing in. And see, that pressing in part of it It requires some volition. And we have to understand that where everything Job went through, he said, it boiled down to, he said, my latter days will be greater than my former. And were. And see, we look at it in, look at Deuteronomy 8:18. This is why more than half of the times Jesus talked about something, money factored in. Currency of the world factored in. Because what Jesus one of the things Jesus came to earth to do is to translate us from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of heaven. Well, part of that is that currency changes. Our currency goes from money, which is the currency of the world, to faith, which is the currency of the kingdom. See, Jesus said, so be it as of unto your faith, not as of unto your money. In the world, you think it's so be it as of unto my money. So be it as of unto my credit, which is interesting that credit is such a big deal in the world. What's your credit score? Man, I got to build my credit score. It's like, wait a second. When did we start buying into borrowing? It's not rocket science. We've got to understand that we are beholden to the lender when we're borrowers. That's what the word says. So, but now it's like, wait a second, credit's such a big deal. And no, currency is the deal. You want to be great in the world? You got to have cash. You want to be great in the kingdom? You got to have faith. See, that's how this works. Listen to Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm wanting this. I want some skeptics to be here because I want this to blow your mind. And you shall remember the Lord God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. And you're like, oh, I knew they were going to start talking about money. Yeah, get over it. But the wealth of the kingdom is different than the wealth of the world. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, no. Wealth to me has, prosperity to me has nothing to do with money. Nothing. Man, as Pastor Sandy, I don't think in terms of money. How much is it? I don't think in terms of budget. We bring people in to fill those desks in the offices. I don't think in those terms. Everything isn't about the currency of the world is money. The currency of the kingdom is faith. The wealth of the wicked is going to be laid up. Why? Because we shift our focus from being cash to trust. So be it as of unto your trust. Not as so be it as of unto your bank account or your money. And you shall remember the name, you'll remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. Listen, to establish His covenant. Write this down. Everything in the kingdom starts with power. Everything in the kingdom ends up in covenant. Covenant is where God, oh, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Really? You know, it's the man upstairs, those guys that win Academy Awards. I want to thank the man upstairs. It's like, what are you talking about? It's like we're coming to God and saying, hey, dude, it's not casual to me. We don't have to dumb this down or water it down. God's a father. He's a great father. He's a great God. And see, we have to understand that. We have to look at it. It's like, wait a second. And God is the authority. I know the world's having a hard time with authorities, and the world's having a hard time with absolutes. Friday night, I got into a heated discussion. And let me tell you, I wasn't in it for the first 10 minutes about abortion. And it got political like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not getting into a political discussion or argument about abortion. It has nothing to do with politics to me. And it's interesting because this guy said, well, what about rape and incest? What about all this stuff? And I'm just sitting there and I'm listening and I could feel everybody else at the table trying to pull me into the equation. And then finally a guy I went to high school with that I haven't seen in 20 years, he looks and he goes, hey, Bill, WTF, it's a baby. And I'm like, bingo. See, the bottom line is this, there are absolutes. There are, and we have to come to grips with that. Listen, as a church, the Bible says God's judgment starts in His house. And it's simply like this. It's like, you guys, how many guys have raised kids? How many guys have raised boys? Anybody in here raised boys? You're going to end up having that conversation. It's like, we don't do it that way in our house. Well, but my friends, yeah, but they said, no. That's not how we do it. That's how God is. God's got a way that he operates in his house, and it's different than the way the world operates. Jesus said, you've heard it said time and time again, but I say to you, you know, we can limit God in our lives by thinking that God operates like the world operates. And let me tell you, here's what they said. They said, oh, dear God, the disciple, this group of marauders that were following Jesus came to these communities. They're like, oh, dear God, these are those that have turned the world upside down, and now they're with us. What's going to happen to our world? They flipped the whole world, and now they're with us. See, that's the idea. We've got to get this thing. For this thing to get back on track, someone's got to take a stand for God. And God always starts with power. What happens when his spirit comes upon us? We receive power, wonderful in nature. See, we can limit God in our lives. Look at the children of Israel in the wilderness. God set them free from Egypt. This is most of the church. Most of the church gets set free from the bondage of the hellacious life, and you come to the new life in Christ, but it's hard to follow the leadership. It's hard to tune into the leader. Moses leaves just for a little bit, and what do? They melt down all this precious metal and make an idol. It's like, what have you done? They said, well, they're partying. This is the sound of a party. And no, this is a sound of war. See, that's what we've got to understand. We've got to look at this and we've got to say, wait a second. Man, the world is at war with us. We just win. See, it's not a rhino running through your marriage. It's a snake. You got to just lop its head off. It's subtle. We've just grown apart. I don't know what happened. No, we still love each other. We just can't live with each other. Stop saying that stuff. Man, you declare and decree what you speak. The Bible says you eat good, the fruit that comes out of your mouth. Man, we can't limit God in our lives anymore. Does God have any limits? No. And he's bound to his word. He's going to perform his word. He's going to stick to his word. But not only can we limit God like the children of Israel did in the wilderness, we can accelerate God and God's blessing in our lives. See, what happens in our lives is our lives become attractional. And we're attractional by the words that we speak. Man, you want to attract the demonic in your life? Just speak death. Just speak evil. You want to attract blessings in your life? You want to fill your house with angelic hosts? Just speak God's word. See, Psalm 84:11, the Bible says that, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and mercy. Listen to this. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Think about walking uprightly. You fast forward to the new covenant. It says, having done all to stand, stand therefore in the liberty where Christ has made you free. We've just got to take a stand. We take a stand. You know what God does? He doesn't withhold any good thing from us. And see, we've got to understand that. Listen to this. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Everybody say strong. To show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. Oh my gosh, I want my heart to be loyal to God. With everything I think and everything I say and everything I do. In this you'll have, but then we do foolishly. And what happens there? Then you have war. So you're going through, Scott and I had a dear friend that was in the church 25 years ago, and I sat with him in my family room. And he just said, man, every area of my, there's strife in every area of my life. You look at all the strife on the earth. You look at, yeah, we can live foolishly. And what does that foolish living do? It attracts war into our lives. But God is searching the earth. He's the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro for who's going to be loyal to him, who's going to walk uprightly. Why? He wants to dump all his blessings on him, then he won't withhold any good thing. There are too many bored Christians out there. This life becomes so boring, we boil it down to a Devo or quiet time. It's like, no, you know what? The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent taketh by force. I believe most people operate within the arm of the flesh. And for me, what that is, it's my personality, and it's my bank account, and it's anything that the world offers me is how I operate. And don't see, then we lose track. If I'm always looking at how much money I have or what the force of my personality can bring or your salesmanship or whatever that is, you know what? Now we don't factor into God's faithfulness. But do you know that God's faithful? That's all he is. All God is faithful. See, there's people who say, well, I asked God to heal me, and he said, no, that's not the truth. Okay, it's a lie. God's always yes to his promise. Has God promised health? Yes. It's never no. See, we have to understand that. You were children of Abraham. See, and what God promised him, listen, he said, I'll bless you. I'll make your name famous so that you'll be a blessing. We're of the seed of Abraham. God promised he'd bless him, make his name famous so that he could turn around. And the Bible even says that he will bless every family on the earth. Romans 4 says, what shall we say then that our father Abraham, did he find it? Did he come about this according to the flesh? Because let me tell you something. He was big league warrior, very prosperous warrior. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. See, in most of us, it's like, here's what I've accomplished, and here's what I've done, and here's what my life has been about. And we're telling people as we tell God, trying to justify ourselves to people and to God, and that's not how it works. For what does the scripture say, is what the next verse says. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him unto righteousness. It's always us believing God. See, what we've got to do, just take the limits off God right now. Right now, in your heart, in your mind, in your mindset, in how you gather, just take the limits off of God. Take them off and take them off right now. See, the Christian life is either going to be supernatural, or it's going to be superficial. That's going to be a Christian life. And let me just tell you, I don't want to even know about the ratio in the body of Christ that are supernatural and superficial. Because I think there's a lot of superficial stuff in the church and in God's body, and I think we've got to be supernatural. I think that's how we have to raise our kids, and because the bottom line is, and I've made this statement for 7 weeks now, the Spirit-filled life is a life of power. The kingdom, everything in the kingdom starts with power. It is so dynamic in nature. It's miracle producing. It doesn't just eyedropper blessing onto people. God, the Bible says God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. What's going to happen then? You're going to prophesy. You're going to dream dreams. You're going to see visions. That's what life is. That's the life of God that we have, is that we prophesy, we dream dreams, and we see visions. It's like, oh my gosh, we are so well equipped. The Holy Spirit reminds us of everything Jesus said and shows us things we didn't know. So instead of me going, man, I don't know. Do you understand? Write this down. I don't know is not an answer. Man, there's people who say, well, you know, I'm strong enough to say I just don't know. Really? You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Why would Jesus promise that he would show us things we didn't know? See, that's our answer. It's not that we're smarter than the world. It's because of the Holy Spirit we're better than the world. I remember I was pumping gas. I was a brand new Christian. I've been a Christian about a month. A guy pulls up beside me in the gas pump at the Standard Oil Station in Warrenton, Missouri, and in the summer of 1979. And I'm filling my vehicle with gas, and he pulls up, and he has back to me. He didn't notice me, and I said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" He said, "Oh, my gosh." He came over and hugged me. He said, "Man, how you doing?" Smelled of liquor. I said, "Man, I heard you were loving God." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I was, but I've come into some tough times." I said, "Man, what happened?" And he said, "Man, I heard you gave your life to the Lord." I said, "I did." I said, "How can you ever experience this and ever turn away from it?" His head dropped, and I said, "Come on, man, we're better than this." Another guy pulled up. He said, "What are you guys doing hugging at the gas pump?" And Chuck, the other guy said, "Oh, I was congratulating Shear for giving his life to the Lord. Brand new, I'm a brand new Christian." This guy turns to me. He goes, "Oh, you're a Christian now?" I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Does that make you better than me?" I said, "Yeah, it does." I said, "I was better than you before as a Christian. I'm freaking lapping you now. You can't let those old sinning friends. But we're better than this. We're not superficial. Right now, check your life. Anything in your life that's attached to God that is superficial, please repent. Please say, 'God, forgive me of this.' And let's decide to go deep with God. Let's decide to sell out and then buy into everything God has for us. Because I'll tell you, the day I got filled with the Holy Spirit, what tipped me was the guy said, 'Do you want all of God you can get?' I said, 'Yes.' And he prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and my life's never been the same. The single most powerful thing that's ever happened in my life is the baptism of the Holy Spirit." You'll say, "Well, what about when you gave your life to Jesus?" I was hungover and felt terrible. I felt terrible that whole day. Whole day, I had a dull headache the whole day. Got up the next, I went to bed that night thinking, "Is that it? Is that all there is?" But then subsequently, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Boom. Shoot. It's on. Somebody pulls up the gas pump and says, "What, do you think you're better than me?" It's like, "Yeah, I'm better than you. I've got the Spirit of the living God on the inside of me."
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.